Psalm 100. Psalm 100 reads this way, a psalm for giving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth! ! Serve the Lord with gladness! ! Come into his presence with singing! ! Know that the Lord, he is God! ! It is he who made us, and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise! ! Give thanks to him, bless his name! ! For the Lord is good, his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. He is good, he is mighty, he is steadfast. His mercy endures forever. He is long-suffering. He is kind. He is just. He is God Almighty. And he is ours and we are his. The title again, A Song for Thanksgiving, written right there in the Word of God for us. Although most of the Psalms were written by David, this one has an unknown author. We don't know who wrote this Psalm. When the Jewish people would sing this song and Psalms normally, they would be coming into the temple. They would be worshiping God. And you know, normally, this was restricted only to the Jewish people to come into the temple and worship God in such a manner. Psalm 100 was written, though, for all people, for all the earth. It is universal. It is also eternal. For all the earth, for all times, from the beginning and forevermore. There is an object of Psalm 100, and that is the Lord. He is the object of the worship. He is the Lord. He is the only true God. There is no other God but God Almighty, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. No other God. And he deserves all the praise, the glory, and the honor. It is due his name. From every breath under all creation of all time, it is due his name. It is an honor, a joy, and a privilege to get up on a morning and know that his mercy is new every day. It is an honor and a privilege to be able to come to the house of God and rejoice and be glad in it the day he has created. Psalm 100 is to worship the Lord. He is our shepherd whose love and faithfulness never ends. Never ends. Never ends. This psalm is for every nation, every ethnicity. No one is left out. All peoples come together in God's temple to celebrate that God's love and faithfulness is for everybody forevermore. We have a mighty, mighty God, and he is worthy of every bit, every ounce, every pound, every shout, every whisper, every bit of praise belongs to him. Every breath of praise, the Lord says, praise the Lord, all the earth. Praise the Lord. Now this psalm has, it's a song of instruction. It's a song with seven directives. You could call them commands. Seven directives. And we see here, make a joyful noise. A joyful noise. We see serve the Lord with gladness. We see come in with singing. We see know He is God. We see the directive, enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. We see the directive, give thanks to Him, bless His name. You give thanks to God, you are blessing His name. I would like to say, no more the days to come to the house of the Lord. Oh, woe is me and heavy laden. We do come with some baggage sometimes, but God says, lay it down. Lay it down. Worship Him. And He is not harsh in His asking or inviting, I should say. It is an open invitation, an open door for all people. And this door was open because of what Jesus did. Now we can proclaim the gospel of Jesus Christ to the world. Come, come all that are heavy laden, come, and He will give us rest. He is calling us to come. Come and worship our God. What an awesome, mighty privilege. Let us talk about this making a joyful noise for just a moment. We see this, make a joyful noise in verse 1. Make a joyful noise. The translators put the words make a joyful in front of noise to help us better understand what this Hebrew word means. Yada is the Hebrew word. And in Hebrew, the Hebrew language is so beautiful. When you get to studying what the words mean, it's a picture. It's like God is painting this beautiful picture. The words come alive in the Bible. It's beautiful. The Hebrew language is beautiful. So for us to have any kind of understanding as the translators translate the language into English, there has to be some things to help us understand. Make a joyful noise. Yada means to raise a shout, to sound, to cry out. It is this beautiful battle cry. It is a victorious cry. And why is it that the Bible says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all you earth? Because there is something that happened that we're fixing to celebrate. And that's the birth of Jesus Christ. God made a way for us that we can worship Him. That we can glorify Him. Us. Who is man that you are mindful of us, God, and yet you love us so that you gave your only begotten Son? By reading Psalm 100, we are seeing that we are called into an action. We're called into an action of praise and worship, shouting for His glory and His honor, giving Him thanks. We need not be quiet about it necessarily. He is worthy of every bit of loudness we can come up with. He's also worthy of every whisper of praise. His ears are there. He's listening. And oh, what a joyous, joyous, joyous event that's happening. I picture the people of the Lord worshiping God and the angels of the Lord worshiping God in all creation, on earth and in heaven, worshiping God together. And we know Jesus. the Son of God. And our song is a song of redemption. Our song is a song of the redeemed. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. When we read Psalm 100, we can conclude four things. We can see that God is worthy of our worship. He is very much worthy of everything that just happened, and even more. He is worthy of our praise and worship. He's worthy of our worship in our everyday life. He's worthy of our worship in our singing, in our giving, in our loving one another, in our walk with Him. He's worthy of it all. That's what we can see when we read Psalm 100. He is also God. He is also knowable. Know, verse 3 says, know that the Lord, He is God. We can know that He is God. From our intimate relationship is another thing that we can see, and we know that from our intimate relationship with God, this worship flows out of us. When you love God, when you come in contact with the presence of the mighty God, you're going to praise Him. I can't help but weep. That's what happens to me. You may have a shout. You may have a dance. You may have clap your hands. You're going to respond if you know who He is and you come into His presence. People that come into the presence of the Lord who do not know Him, they say things like this: I felt something in my heart. I felt something in the atmosphere that was different. I was sitting in a group this week, and a young man said, I felt something in my heart when I was in prison. And that's what he was telling me. He gave his life to the Lord, began to know the Lord, began to seek God. And they were reading the Word. I felt something in my heart. Young man, God. We can experience Him. We can have that knowing that He is God. We can, from this Psalm 100, know that from our intimate relationship with God comes this flowing of worship. Now, this word intimate is intimate. It's the same word that was used with Adam and Eve. When Adam knew his wife. We can also know that joyful worship is based on God's unchanging character. That's wonderful to know. Because we can worship God no matter what, no matter what circumstance we're in. Because our worship isn't based on if I'm getting something like a new car or not. Or a new house, or not, or a new job, or it isn't based on that. It's based on His character. It's not based on if I'm in perfect health and feeling great today. It's based on God's unchanging character. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. Isn't it wonderful to know that it's not based on our circumstance? It's based on who He is, and He is who He is in every circumstance we ever see and face. He is still God, and He loves us. He is that shepherd who is feeding His sheep with His hand outstretched. Oh, how close He is. He didn't just throw it. Here, eat. He didn't pour it into something. He's holding it. How much He loves us. How much He knows us. Another thing that we can conclude is that our proper response to this, our mighty God, is thanksgiving and worship. The word know here in verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us, and we are His. We are His people and the shepherd of His and the sheep of His pasture. That know is yada. To learn, to know, to find out. It's a discovering God. It's a growing in God. It's a growing in a real relationship with this mighty God that created us. It's a beautiful thing when I think about the Garden of Eden. God created man. And in the cool of the day, God Almighty walked and talked with Adam. Yeah. He's still walking and talking with His people. Thank you, Jesus. It's a know by experience. This word yada, this knowing God, this growing close to God, this is a getting to know God and a knowing God by the experience that we have with Him. You know, faith is not based on emptiness. Faith is based on the Word of God. Faith is based on who God is. And we have experiences that we can testify of who God is. It's not blind faith in nothing. It is a firm foundation of faith in Christ Jesus. It's not a faith in emptiness like faith in faith. Oh, I have a lot of faith. I have faith in my faith. It is not that. It is a faith in the unchanging God, who He is. Faith in Jesus and who He is, the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings. It is faith in Him. And He is faithful to His word. His promises are sure. He does not slumber. He does not sleep. Sometimes people will sing a song about Him being faithful to us. And yes, He is. Through His word, He's faithful to His word and His promises to us. We can be, this knowing is to be acquainted with Him. And when we think about how He is acquainted with us and how He came from glory and how He came as a babe and how He grew and how He suffered right along with us, knowing He is acquainted with our suffering. We have a God who is not indifferent. We have a God who is, He is the only God, by the way. All others are false. There is no such thing as Mother Nature, y'all. Crush that thing. Is God Almighty, the creator of the universe, the creator of all. Psalm 100, a psalm for thanksgiving thanks. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who made us and not we ourselves. We are His. We are His people, the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, precious Holy Spirit. Thank you, God Almighty. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever. His faithfulness to all generations and His faithfulness forever. We enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise to give Him thanks and bless His name. It's a beautiful imagery. You can see the people entering through the gate, going into the courts, but they didn't just come and enter in without praising God. They were entering in praising God. Dear friend of mine shared about in their culture how when the service starts, the worshipers come in from the back and come down the aisle singing and come to the choir. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Beautiful. There's rich study in here. There's deepness in just these few verses, and the imagery of his gates, his courts, his praise, his pasture is in all of these. It's all his. And we are his. It's beautiful. Entering the gates into the courts and into his very presence wasn't always possible. There used to be in the temple in Israel, and in the temple, when they built the temple, this great, big, long, tall, thick curtain. And only the high priest could go in once a year to atone into the very holy of holies. That curtain covered that area. They could come into the gates. They could come into the courts. They were always in the presence of God, but then there's that holy of holies. Y'all, we get a taste of that on Sunday morning. His presence comes and touches our lives right here. Jesus made a way for that to be possible. Jesus paid the price. When he gave his life on Calvary, that curtain was torn. And he broke down the wall of partition and made a way for us to go into the very holy of holies in the presence of God and worship him. Isn't that beautiful? That's God's desire. That's what God wants. He wants his people to know that he is God and he is approachable. But we cannot take it lightly. It cost us high. It was spoke about, taught about in the class on Thursday night, that this was the biggest and greatest, it's the most greatest injustice of all eternity that Jesus died. This one sinless. There was no reason other than God gave his life for the sinful. How much he loves us. This illustration of his gates, his courts, his presence, his pasture illustrates to us a drawing near and being in the care of a mighty God. When we come into his presence, healings happen. This is true. Burdens are lifted. Blinded eyes are made to see. Ears that have been deaf are made to hear. When you come into the presence of the living God, he just lifts our spirit. There's something that happens that's transformative, that changes who we are. And we come into his presence when we read his word in thoughtful, prayerful reading and devotion. We come into his presence when we sing a song. We don't have to feel a certain way to sing a song. He's unchanging. He deserves the praise. So whether I feel a certain way here does not matter. I praise him because he is. Now, do you know who don't want that to happen? The enemy. Satan. Lucifer. He does not want praise to be given to God. Matter of fact, he wants it for himself. He will do whatever he can to stop it from happening. He'll try to cause a ruckus on the side. He'll distract you in your mind. He'll do whatever it takes. But you know what? If you open your mouth and you begin to sing, all of that seems far away. And as you sing, and as you glorify God in your words of testimony, and in your life, God, you're drawing nigh to God. And the word of God says if we draw nigh to him, he will draw nigh to us. Verses 3 and 5. Know the Lord. He is God. It is he who made us. And we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. For the Lord is good. He is steadfast. And his love endures forever. And his faithfulness to all generations. So what is this when God is saying, describing that we are the sheep of his pasture? Is he really saying we're dumb? You know, I hear that all the time, sheep are dumb. That's not true, y'all. Just so you know. Yeah, I have heard that often, that sheep are dumb creatures, but they're not really dumb. Some evidence of that is the memory. Sheep can remember up to 50 individual faces, both sheep and human, for several years. In their learning, they can be trained to respond to names and can learn and perform complex tasks such as navigating mazes similar to those used for rats and monkeys. Just to know, just a little FYI. They have problem-solving skills. Sheep can demonstrate executive functions and the ability to mentally manipulate ideas and can solve problems. Sheep. Emotional complexity. They form deep social bonds. They recognize emotional expressions on other sheep and other people and on people's faces. And they grieve, y'all, they grieve when a flock dies, when one of their flock dies. They have self-preservation. If they're sick, they're going to find some kind of plant that will help them, specifically to help them with that problem. So sheep aren't completely dumb. Yeah, they fall in ditches, but they're not completely dumb. The point of his pasture is really found not so much, not that the sheep are not important, but not so much in the sheep themselves, but in the word his in the verse. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. A clear understanding of this metaphor, shepherd and sheep, is found in when Jesus was talking in John chapter 10. A couple of verses that I want to read. The first one, a shepherd and his relationship with his sheep is very caring. And this imagery, this metaphor, Jesus being the shepherd of the sheep, is beautiful. When he has, John 10:4 says, when he has brought out all his own, he goes before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. To know the voice of Christ means that you know him. You've heard him. He's been talking to you. He's been taking care of you. To know him, for a sheep, if you think about a sheep and a shepherd, they get to know that shepherd and they follow that shepherd who is providing them with these things. He's leading them. He's protecting them. He knows them. Psalms 23. Isn't this a beautiful psalm? The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup runs over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life. And I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Hallelujah. We have something to be thankful for, not just on Thanksgiving Day, but every day that we live for all eternity. When you know the Lord Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you know what I'm talking about. And if you do not know the Lord Jesus as your Savior, if you are not following the shepherd, you are missing on his provision, on his care. He's given his life for you to know him. He has given his life for you that you would no longer be in bondage to that sin. He's given his life for you that you would be set free. All you need do is ask for forgiveness. Acknowledge that he is the Son of God. And you will be saved. Believe in your heart, and you will be saved. He is a shepherd that protects his sheep. John 10:11 says, Jesus says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for his sheep. In 1 Samuel 17:34-36, you could read about David. He would fight off bears and lions as he was protecting the sheep in his flock. Jesus gave his life. He didn't just risk it, he gave it. He gave his life knowing. He prayed before he did. He prayed for each and every one of us. Can you imagine that? He prayed for me. Jesus prayed for you. And he's ever living, making intercession for us right now. A shepherd knows his sheep. The sheep come to know their shepherd's voice. There's no other voice like the voice of the Lord. There's no other voice that can even compare. No other voice. And in this world, in this day and time, there are a lot of voices. There is a lot of chaos. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of falseness and false doctrine. There's a lot of stuff that just stresses people out all the time, but the voice of the Lord is so clear. It's undeniable. Even if you're a young man in prison and you feel something, the Lord knocking on the heart of the soul of man. There's nothing like him and his sheep. Those who serve him, those who turn their life to him and serve him and follow him, listen for him. This know, this word know is still the same, yada in Hebrew. Intimate relationship. A relationship. The good shepherd heals and cares for his sheep. We are the sheep of his pasture, and he gives us constant care. Constant care. Sheep suffer a lot of things, don't they? I mean, the sheep in the field can get parasites. They suffer the weather. They suffer sores and wounds. And the shepherd that takes care of them takes care, and a good shepherd will take care of them and take care of those things. We have a good shepherd. This speaks metaphorically of who Jesus is for us and to us, taking good care of us. Good care of us. He tends to us, doesn't he? Ezekiel 34:15, God says this, I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord. How wonderful it is to be a creation of God Almighty, who cares about us and who loves us so much that he tends to us. When the soul comes to know Jesus, the Son of God, the Savior, our soon coming King, it is a beautiful thing because we can worship him just like this psalm says in Psalm 100. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God, he is. It is he who made us and not we who made ourselves. We are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness is to all generations. He gave his life for his people, making atonement for sin. And the consequence of sin is death. But he is victorious over sin. He is victorious over death. He is victorious over the grave. If you were an Israelite, you would know those divisions that were taking place. We kind of see remnants of those now, how people divide and they put petitions, but Jesus is the one who broke it all down. He is the high priest. There is no need for one to go in yearly, make sacrifices yearly. Jesus is the one for all. And the question is, how will we respond to our shepherd? How will we respond?